Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Pashmina P. as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about her international best-selling books, The Cappuccino Chronicles Trilogy, and what it's like to live your music in a variety of ways. Welcome, Pashmina.
Hi, Margot. Thank you so much for having me on your platform. This is such a wonderful day for me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so, you know, ever since I first met you, I've just, you know, I just knew you were a kindred spirit, and I just knew I wanted to have you on the show. And then when I saw
Thank
the covers
you.
Of your books, your book covers, they're so beautiful. I really love them.
Thank you.
And so
yeah.
I couldn't wait to read them and talk to you about them. And
Awesome.
So here we are.
Wow, I love crossing continent bridges. So thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, you're welcome. Tell people where you are, though, because most of the people I interview are either here in the United States or they're in England or somewhere like that. So tell them where you are.
Currently, right now, I'm in Bangkok, Thailand, and I've lived here for 17 years. Before that, I lived in London, I've lived in California, grew up in Hong Kong, I lived in China for a few months. I've lived all over the place.
I can't believe it. It's just so amazing. And wow. So tell us a little bit about why you started writing, and we'll work into talking about the books, but yeah, why did you start writing?
I've always had a passion to write. I mean, when I was growing up, I used to sit in my parents' library at home and just sit there and just look at the books and think, wow, I'd love to see my name like on a book one day. And it became my dream, you know, at 6 years old to want to be able to write a book. But of course, you know, like it's a dream that you put in your subconscious and you don't actually do anything about it. And 16
mm-hmm.
years, I wrote this book when my daughter was in the NICU. Actually started before that and then threw it in a dusty cupboard and then took it back out again. And I found that writing had the power to transform me. It kind of gave me a place of respite and a place of escape as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I've always loved books, so I can really relate to that. I remember growing up and thinking it seemed way too hard to write one, but that would be really awesome to write one. And I have my book, but mine's not a novel. It's nonfiction, The Art of Living Life You Love. But yeah, writing it was just such an amazing journey, and I learned so much
mm-hmm.
about myself while I was writing it. And
exactly. Yeah.
I'm sure that happened with you, too.
You just find out things that your imagination doesn't really understand until you write it down. It's a fascinating feeling.
Yeah, I like that. That is amazing. So, you know, I've almost finished the book one in the
mm-hmm.
trilogy, and
mm-hmm.
wow. I'm so glad that I met you and that I decided to read it. It's just such an amazing story. And then tell us a little bit about the Cappuccino Chronicles and a little bit about the characters. At first, I was a little confused about the different characters, so you know, but they're really awesome. So tell us about it. Okay?
Thank you. Well, I in every interview, I say I love that song by Chaka Khan, I'm Every Woman. And I'm such an international human being. I've met so many people in my lifetime, in my 45 years, from all over the world. And I'm really blessed to have that opportunity to be such an avid traveler and, you know, meet people across, you know, the universe and just make human connections. I think that's one of the gifts that God gave me, that I'm able to touch people's hearts on an international level. So the characters are a conglomeration of a bunch of different women that I've met in my lifetime. I mean, there is obviously the Indian woman, you know, who, I said this in another interview, my mom's like, why can't you be more like her? Well, because I'm not her. And I know she's very, you know, into yoga, and she's like very, like, you know, precise in what she does. And then there's another girl who's got, you know, orange hair and blue eyes, who's an Irish girl, and an Indian friend, or my sister, and another Indian friend said, oh, we relate to her. And I'm like, but she's sick, you know, from Ireland. So it wasn't really about how these women looked. It was kind of more like about their persona and who they were trying to emulate. And each of these characters that come into the play are all connected together. And I really do believe that all of us are just a few degrees of separation from actually each other, you know, that we are connected to another human being because of another human being. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I love the part where the part I was just reading in the book toward the end of it, it was talking about the humanity, you know, about humanity instead of us all being like from this country or this belief or that belief, you know, the whole idea of we're just one big human family here on Earth, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's the way I've always seen it too. And I'm fascinated by people from other countries and other parts of the United States and just all over the world. And I think that to me it makes life so much more interesting that there's so many different kinds of ways to look at life and so many different people. And anyway,
I really believe that there's always a place for someone, or as my mom always told me, a piece of the pie in the sky for everyone. So knowing that you have a place in this world and you will connect and make connections with people that are supposed to be in your realm, you know, it's a really wonderful feeling to know that, to know that there are people around you who actually understand this concept. I think that's why I was drawn to you as well, because you know how to live your music to the fullest, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, live your music means live your heart's desires. And the thing is, you have to be willing to look inside yourself. And like you said, you'd always wanted to write a book, you know, and you knew that books were important to you. And so that's what live your music means. It means it's not just music, obviously. It's whatever your heart desires to do while you're here on Earth. And part of that for me, and I think for you also, is being a mom. So, you know,
that's my favorite job.
It was my favorite job too, and my son's 30 now, and I still wish it was my job more full time, you know. But no.
Well, I think I was really presented with a bit of a rude awakening when my daughter was born at 26 weeks. So that unto itself made her birth really precious in the beginning. I mean, she is a miracle. And when my second one came along, I was diagnosed with postpartum pulmonary edema. So I almost lost my life, and they took my second baby away, and I was thrown into the NICU, and they just didn't let me see her for 5 days. So the beginning of both of them was very traumatic for me as a mom, like wondering whether I was going to lose them or be there for them. So I have this very sacred connection with my children. It's amazing. I mean, they're the only people in this world that can make me giggle and laugh as loud as they do. And aww. I adore my mom, I adore my family, I adore my husband, I adore people around me. But those two just, they're like, it's like when a match hits a light box, you know, they just know how to ignite the fire in me. And usually it's through humor. And I mean, just last night, before we went to bed, we were just having a great giggle. And this morning at breakfast as well, you know, we were having a wonderful time. It's just that they just make my heart sing. And that's the best job that I can ever ask for. Yeah, it's wonderful.
You know, that's the same way I feel about our son. I mean, he's always just added so much warm golden sunshine and joy and so much laughter and humor and fun and music into our lives. You know, he loves music too, and plays guitar and sings. And yeah, it's just it's a real gift having them in our lives. And your girls are, what ages are your girls now?
17 and 12. God, time just flies. And my 17-year-old will be leaving my home soon. So I think this, I spoke to a friend of mine, actually, who lives in the UK, and she said when her daughter was going to university, she needed her the most at that point in her life, more than she did when she was like a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old. It's just a different frame of mind where, I mean, just the other night she said, Mom, can you just sit here? I need to write an essay for you know, one of the colleges. I said, do you need my help? And she's like, no, I just need you to sit here and just emulate your presence so that I can get it done. And I'm like, okay. So just being there, like helping her in that way, you know, and then her reading it back to me and me showing her how proud I am of her, that was such an aha and magical moment for me too. And it's right. I mean, she just needed me to sit there, like a 6-year-old almost.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Now, tell us a little, I want to get back into the Cappuccino Chronicles, and if you tell us a little bit for the listeners, a little bit about what book one's about, and then a little bit about how the story continues with the next two books.
Okay. Basically, it's a trilogy where the women start off in their 20s, then their 40s, then their 60s. So it's a progression of these women in three different stages of their life. And as they move on, you see that they do learn some simple spiritual truths. They really do. But there's some habits of them that are just innate, that they can't shake off, which they bring from their childhood into their old age. So watching them kind of replay the stuff that doesn't need to be replayed, it kind of is a lesson, I think, for us as women as we grow older to kind of shed the old and always embrace the new. Because that's really important. We're always evolving. That feeling of metamorphosis, of always having that threshold where we can go through and pass through a different period of our life to get somewhere else. I think this is what these women are trying to teach us.
And I think they do. You know, as I look back on reading the stories, there are so many life lessons and so many reminders in the book. And as I told you before, I really do think it could be a really cool, I guess, mini-series on a TV network, you know, like on Netflix or something like that. I think that could be really cool because, you know, they're going to all these different countries and, you know, the people that they meet and everything. It just, I don't know, it just seems like there's so much that could be visual about it that would be really awesome as well.
I'm so happy that you said that because when I wrote it, I saw these characters as 3D, you know, renditions, like on a film, on a stage. I actually saw them, like what they were, what their costume was, what the cue-in music was. And I wrote a lot of conversation because I wrote it like a script. I wrote it as a script, you know, and but then I wanted to make it into a novel form so that I could sell it as a book. Also having in mind that it would be easy for someone else to readapt into a screenplay because there was such a rich, you know, body of conversation in there.
Yeah.
I hosted a workshop like after I had written the book, the first one, a creative writing course called I See Book People. Because I wanted to give fiction writers a little bit of a boost to say, you know, you can write fiction in a way where you actually visualize the characters in your head.
I like that. That's really cool.
And yeah, I think that comes from my theater arts background as well.
So you have a theater arts background and you also teach or have been a teacher. Are you still doing some of that or not?
Yeah, I have a master's of international education, and I think once you're a teacher, you can never, like, get that out of you. So I do have a license, and I can teach anywhere in the world if I would like to. So, yes, I don't ever let that passion go. One of the things that I realized as a teacher and an author is that from your book, you can create a bring, you can create a wealth of different kinds of information and material to share with people. So creating scripts or curriculum maps or reader's theater. I also have a children's book that I did. So, you know, using that as a reader's theater tool and phonics and education. So kind of like bridging the gap between writing and education and is really my passion and what I see myself in the future and doing.
Well, that's really cool. You know, I've always loved teachers. I don't know. When I was a little girl, that was one of the things I thought I wanted to do. I had this little Susie Smart doll that had her desk, and I thought that would be really, really cool to be her teacher, you know. And so that was one of the things that I had wanted to do when I was young. And then, I don't know, high school, though, kind of made me not like the idea of being a teacher that much because I didn't like high school, but yeah, and college was better, but I still, at that point, I was not really wanting to do teaching. But I've always thought that teaching is such a wonderful thing. And my aunt's a teacher, my mom's sister, and she's like a reading specialist for, she's retired now. But
yeah, I never thought I was going to be a teacher. After I finished university, I worked for a public relations and marketing company in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. My boss over there was remarkable. I was an employee there, so she taught me everything that I needed to know about how to garner the press and how to market, like, really big high fashion brands like Louis Vuitton, Cheruti, Marc Jacobs. We actually got to dance with Nino Cheruti. I actually had champagne with Marc Jacobs in Hong Kong. But what I realized at that young age is that mm-hmm. I was about to start a family and I was about to like embark on this new idea where I couldn't be staying up every single night, right? I had to go home and be with my husband or whoever. So after about 6 years, I left the corporate world and went into teaching. And what mm-hmm. I found was that my heart fluttered every time I was in the classroom. It was a feeling, I mean, not to say that the PR and marketing side didn't bring me to where I am today. Everything mm-hmm. is a domino effect or a ripple effect. But the teaching part, when I went into the classroom and I could see the kids light up, it was something that I knew that I wanted to pursue no matter what I was doing in my life. In some areas, I needed to still keep that with me. And I was in the same school here in Thailand for 14 years as the head of the visual and performing arts department, and then needed to just kind of branch off and become an entrepreneur and kind of, merge both of my expertise to get all of my expertise together to emerge as this person called Pashmina P.
Wow. That is so cool. That is really cool.
Thank you.
Do you want to write more books? I mean, do you have other books that you feel like you're inspired to write?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many more books inside of me. And, you know, there's so much that I want to say. I also want to be able to help people to write their books, too. I mean, a lot of Asian writers that I notice in Asia are very scared to come forward. And this mm-hmm. is how I began, you know, like helping Asia or Asian authors understand that they can cross the continent bridge as well. And that's how I was, you know, published in Canada. But what they're afraid of and what I see a lot of Asian women is that they are afraid to come forward. So I want to be able to inspire and service and give back to the community and, you know, share ideas and help people to rise. I mean, that's what I want to do, because if I'm being surrounded by family members, friends, colleagues who enjoy seeing me rise, it's like it rubs off of me. So this is what I want to do for other people, especially people who have the desire to know how I did it. How did I cross the border and, you know, talk to you and get endorsed by, you know, a former anchor of CNN and CNBC? How did I get endorsed by a New York Times bestseller? You know, how did I get published, across the ocean? These people have come to me to ask me, how did I do it? And I can give them all of the ideas and the roadmaps to what I did. But the core of it is to really believe in yourself. You know, anyone can, it's so cliche, but really if you stick to your intuition and you stick to your guiding light and you stick to all the positives that come your way, there's no way that you can fail. And if you do, there's a reason. You just have to get yourself back up, dust off, and keep moving. Every roadblock is an extension to what is more and what is bigger out there.
So true, so true. And that you're right, the whole thing about believing in yourself and trusting that what you feel called to do is something that's important, even if it's not something that you do full-time, you know. I mean, like writing my book, for example, I didn't do that just to earn money by being an author. I wrote it because it was something I felt called to say and wanted to say about what I'd learned about living a life I love. And, you know, it just, I think that what you're doing by helping these people is just a wonderful thing that you can help. It sounds like you're a little bit like my writing coach was, actually, where she would help us believe in it and make us put our inner critics over on a piece of paper outside the room. You know, we couldn't have them in the room. And, you know,
And you will have those critics. You will. I mean, I still do. You know, and it doesn't matter. I don't let their energy feed on me, because they, whatever they think about me is their business, not mine.
Mhm. Yeah.
And that's how I live my life. If someone wants to see the beauty in me, that's excellent. But if they decide to see another side of me, that's really their problem, not mine.
You know, it sounds easier to do than it really is in a lot of ways, and yet it's so true. I mean, why would people see us anyway but than how they perceive the world? So, you know, they're not necessarily going to see us the way we are, because they're going to see us through their perception of the world.
And this is what my book also teaches, how these women go through different looking glasses. Like, you know, when people are talking about, I mean, they all talk about each other. You know, like if you keep reading, and they become friends, you know, but at the core of it, they're all kind of like trying to teach each other something, but still talking about each other. And this is it. It's like seeing each character through a looking glass and understanding that each one of them in their own right is unique and has a special power that they bring to the table and to the universe.
I know, I've seen that happening. Now, in the first book, what ages are they approximately in the first book? Because I couldn't tell. It doesn't really say what ages they are.
They're pretty much in their 20s, late 20s, mid-20s. Yeah, like they've not just finished university. They reminisce about university, but I'm thinking, like, you know, when I'm not saying if, when a screenplay person gets a hold of it and can try and help to track back, maybe they might go all the way back to when they were in school together, they would understand that through the conversation that they're in their late 20s at the moment, because they do have careers. They are working. They're working women, you know, supporting themselves and making a life for themselves. So they can't be way too young, you know. They're like in late 20s for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then they go into a little bit older in the next book. In the next book, is that how it works?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it's not
definitely
very
curious to read the next two books.
That's amazing. Thank you. And that's the way that I wrote it, so that when I had created the niche market for the first one, I kind of left them in a place where I knew that they needed to read the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then hopefully the third one.
Yeah.
So get addicted like a good cup of coffee.
And I have to say that I love the idea that it was about coffee, because I'm not really a tea drinker myself. I love my lattes, not so much cappuccino as lattes, but yeah, the whole idea of that the first book is called The Cappuccino Chronicles. The second one's Mocha Madness, and it looks like it has a latte on the front. And then Endless Espressos. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like the metaphor of the coffee, like the coffee is like sweet and frothy and, you know, that cappuccino. And the second one is like mocha. It's kind of thick like chocolate. And the third one is like a heavy espresso, you know, like it kind of, it's kind of like a metaphor that it takes a lot more for the women to get that coffee kick. So they need an espresso by the time they come to that stage of their life. So I don't know. I hope you enjoyed the second and the third one.
I'm sure that I will. You know, we've only got about 4 minutes left. And so what do you want to make sure that you tell my listeners before we lose our time?
Never stop believing in yourself. One of the most important things that I learned along the way is that what other people think about you is none of your business. And, you know, if you know that you're moving forward and doing stuff in a heart-centered way, keep on doing it. And a wonderful mentor told me when I met her in 2016 that everybody has a book inside them. And if you do, go for it. Because we all have a story to tell. We all have a legacy to, you know, to share. And each and every single one of us is unique. And always, always revel in your uniqueness, because that's what's going to help you soar.
Yeah, I totally resonate with that because it's so true. I mean, it's like, why would anybody even want to try to be like someone else? I mean, obviously, when you're in your teens and early 20s, I remember I went through times where you do that. But the only way to really enjoy your life is to be willing to be who you're meant to be, and you can only do that by listening to your heart and what you feel inspired to do, called to do, what interests you, the ways that you want to live your life, and even where. Look at you, you know, all over the place. And that's one of the cool things, actually, I have to say, though, about reading your books is that we get to travel into these places that we've never been, you know. I've never been to London. I've been to Europe once, but not to London. And I've never been to Hong Kong or Thailand or India or any of the other places that people will get to go if they read the books.
Well, we hope to see you in Thailand one day soon.
And I hope to see you in California one day soon, too.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there soon.
Well, people can find out more about you on your website, thecappuccinochronicles.com, and that link is in the text for about the show. Oh, Pashmina, I'm really glad that I met you, and I'm so thankful that I felt inspired to have you on the show and to read your book, because it really has been just exactly what I needed to read right now.
Oh, really, thank you so much. And I'm so happy that it just crossed another continent bridge, that you're reading it in California. It's just amazing. And I'd love a picture of you from my wall of fame holding my book so I can add you to that onto my wall of fame.
I'll do that sometime soon and send it to you. Oh my gosh, you are definitely a great example of what it means to live your music, and I'm so glad that I decided to have you on the show. I really am. And I just want to remind everyone that's listening out there to think about, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of the limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, yes.
Thank you so much, Margot. You are such a wonderful human being, and thank you again abundantly for having me on your platform.
Oh, you're welcome. And bye for now, Pashmina. Bye for now, everyone. Listen to this show.
Thank you, Margo.
And share it with your friends and family, and read those books. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. So much. Bye.
Bye.